And thank you for tuning in this Wednesday evening. We thank you for taking the time to come to the computer, wherever you are, to share the Word of God with us. It's so important that we still look to God's Word during these difficult times. We're speaking now to the congregation in Achillea, Free Presbyterian Church especially, but whoever you are, you're very welcome for listening, and we trust that the Lord will use His Word tonight to help you and to encourage you. I have one or two things just to say to the congregation. We trust that you are keeping well. If you're not, please do let me know and we'll do what we can. Please do continue to remember those who are unwell, connected with their families and connected with the church. And I also want to say to you that we had a very good evening when Mr. David Johnson was ordained to the eldership of Achillea Church. And if you would like to hear the messages, if you go to Sermon Audio, there are actually three separate messages there. There's one which is quite short, it's David's testimony, and then there's another one which is the actual ordination itself, and then another one of the Reverend John Armstrong, the moderator, bringing the Word of God. You can find them all there on Sermon Audio, and we trust that you'll be encouraged. We also want to say to you that there are a couple of photographs up on the Facebook page of our church, if you'd like to go there and see them. It's a good night for us, and thank you very much for praying for that evening. Now, again, this evening, we're turning to the book of Habakkuk, where we have been looking on a couple of occasions, but before we do that, we're just going to have a wee word of prayer together, please. Lord, we're thankful tonight again that even though we can't meet in church as we often do, we can still come to the Word of God, and Lord, by the means of technology, we can still share the Word with our brethren and sisters. Lord, we're praying for all the congregation tonight. We pray for every need. We do remember those who are unwell. Remember those who are very anxious at this time. Remember some, Lord, that have continual worry regarding family and other issues. We pray that the Lord would draw near, that He would give calmness and consolation, that His presence might make all the difference to us. We thank You, Lord, for giving to us Thy Word. And Lord, we pray now as we read it together and share a few thoughts upon it, and then later on, as we spend time in prayer, may the Lord draw near to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I should have said to you or mentioned to you, after you have listened to the Word this evening, it'd be very good if you could spend the time from 8 o'clock to 9, or at least some of it, in prayer. And then we know that as the prayer meeting folk will all be praying, it will be just the usual thing, except we won't be together. Please do spend. It's so important that we continue to seek the Lord in prayer. Now, if you have your Bible, maybe you would turn to the book of Habakkuk, and it's chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 12. Habakkuk here is speaking to the Lord. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Therefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle, and catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat, and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net, and not spur continually to slay the nations? Amen. I'm sure you will remember that on the two previous occasions when we looked at this book, Habakkuk, together, we, of course, opened our study in the book of Habakkuk by saying to you that his name means wrestler, and he certainly was one who wrestled with the Lord. And it says at the very beginning of chapter 1, the burden of Habakkuk, we drew your attention to the fact that that was not a burden as in an illness or something, a grievous thing that he had to carry, but rather it was a reference to duty or to a gift that had been given him. He was, of course, one who did have great duty or a great obligation, because that's what it's referring to. And he had this obligation to serve the Lord and help the people during very difficult times. And as we begin to read in the book of Habakkuk at the beginning of the first chapter, it's almost as though he is just a troubled spectator, because he looks around him, and of course he is very aware that the people, his own people, they have wandered away from the Lord again. They have been falling back into their old ways. Their hearts have grown cold, careless. And now, as he looks on, he's saying to the Lord, are you not listening to me? That really is what Habakkuk was saying to the Lord. And he's saying there in verse 3, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? And we looked at first week at how he accuses God, because that's what he was doing. He accuses God of not listening to him. And sometimes, folks, in these days when gospel work can be hard, and there's not certainly a great number of gospel-greedy people about, in these days, it can be very easy to wonder why the Lord isn't answering, or to even get it into our mindset that he's not going to help us the way he formerly helped his people. Well, I think I said that first evening that Habakkuk begins with great dismay, but it ends with great rejoicing and delight. And therefore, it'll be good if you can listen to all of the messages regarding this short book. We certainly believe it's a book that is relevant for us today. So we have Habakkuk here, the man who would wrestle with the Lord. He's saying there he cried unto the Lord, or he screamed, the word means. He certainly was one who was very keen that God would hear him. But God says to him that he's raising up the Chaldean. So that was a great day that was coming. This was not what Habakkuk expected to hear, that God was going to use the Chaldeans, that he and that the people were going to be brought to Babylon, and there's going to be very difficult times ahead for them. But God was going to use this heathen nation to chastise them and to bring them to that point where they looked to him again. And folks, that's what the Lord does with us still. He chastens us all as sons in some degree. Sometimes he has to chasten his church a great lot in order to get them to turn to him and to seek his face and depend upon him and to rejoice in him again. So we have it at the start of the book, Habakkuk is saying, Lord, you're not listening. Then we have the great day, and the great day was a day of terrible experience, and surely that's where the Christian church is in most countries at the moment, going through difficult times, hardness all around, and right across this United Kingdom of ours, there's a great lack of interest in spiritual things, and I need to be careful with my own heart that I don't lose out as well and begin to wander off in my thoughts and in my behaviour and therefore in my worship as well. But tonight, as we come to look from verses 12 on down, really, Habakkuk is not saying to the Lord, you're not listening, or he's not saying you haven't told him what you're going to do. But really now he's turning to the Lord and he's saying, why are you silent? Did you ever think about that, Christian? Did you ever look around you and think that God is being silent? Well, I want to draw your attention to three things. Three things that Habakkuk, in a very careful way, he reminded the Lord about. He wasn't being disrespectful. He was coming before the Lord as best he knew how. Remember in the book of Job, when Job couldn't sense the Lord's presence, he said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him. I would fill my mouth with arguments. He wasn't speaking about being arrogant or seeking to be one that knew better than God, but rather he was going to come reverently before the Lord and to wrestle with him and to remind the Lord that he was God's child, to remember the Lord that God had promised to be faithful, and God was all that he said he would be to Job, and so he will be to his church today. So we want tonight, thinking here of the silence of God, we want to look at these things that Habakkuk, in quite a desperate situation, these things that he brings before the Lord. There was, first of all here, I want you to notice, he reminded the Lord of the heathen, because it says there concerning them, in verse 15, they take up all of them with the angle, referring to fishing. The illustration is here. They cast them with their net, and they gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag, that's a net as well, because by them their portion is fat, and their meat plenteous. He's saying, Lord, can you not see here, all around us there are those that are actually now, what they are doing is they are worshipping the means that they have. Now, the people that Habakkuk is speaking about were known for their haughtiness. It is said that if you observe any of the art effects from that time, that even these that would indicate to us that here were a people who were absolutely full of themselves. And pride, of course, has always been a big problem for mankind, problem for Christians too. But Habakkuk now is saying, Lord, these people, the means has been there, and they're taking the means of fishing. We looked at the net, and the drag there is a reference to a drag net. It says in verse 16, they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag. Here are people, and they are worshipping the means. They're worshipping what they actually worship. Was it power? And that reference in those verses is to the power that they had and how they could sweep along. Do you remember the Lord said that he's going to bring in the Chaldeans that were going to sweep along, that bitter people? They were ruthless. And the word march, it says, that hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land. The word march there meaning to sweep through. And that's what Habakkuk is talking about now. He's saying, Lord, these people who sweep through and destroy and disturb and bring death to all in their path, can you not take heed of them? I want to remind you about them, about how sinful they are and how far they are from the ways of God. Men and women, is enough. Just a picture of 2020. All around us, men are worshipping. They're worshipping the means. God has given men ability to do many things. But in so many cases, instead of in our own nation is a good example of this, in so many occasions, instead of thanking the Lord and praising him and seeking to glorify him for all that he has provided, men worship the means. They worship money. Tell me this. Do you not think that they worship power? Of course they worship power, and it's not divine power that they worship. They worship their own power. And that is what was wrong with the people here. They were so caught up with themselves. And even in these days of pandemic, cannot get the nation to call for a day of national prayer. Something that did happen during the war, First World War and Second World War. Won't do it. I won't hear tell of it now. Men and women, isn't it good for us in our prayers tonight just to remind God in a respectful way, just as Job did when he said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Wrestle to get into God's presence. Come before him with a clean heart. Lay hold upon him and just reverently remind him of the state of things all around us. There's that which is just like the people in Habakkuk's day.
people who are given to that which they're given to worshiping, that which they have been given, instead of using it for the glory of the Lord. Is the abuse of power, the worship of power. And then it said there concerning these people that they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drawing. Do you see the word? They sacrifice unto their net. People today, let's call them the policymakers or the big thinkers, as they're known as. They are sacrificing everything that is good, everything that is wholesome, and everything that would be God glorifying and for the betterment, the overall ultimate betterment of mankind, is being sacrificed on the altar of self and me and power. Let's not forget about the power. These were people who worshipped their power. And folks, you and I need to pay for our governments. Chaos everywhere. You don't need me to remind you of that, but it's good to remind the Lord about it. Just to bring it all before him tonight in prayer. The need of our own nation. The need of our own province here. What great need there is. Even if we didn't have the pandemic, if it all went away tomorrow, there's still, Northern Ireland is still in a desperate state spiritually. So he reminds the Lord here about the heathen, about their heedlessness and their haughtiness. But he also reminds the Lord about his people's helplessness. You see what it says there in the verses? Well, he knows that the Lord is holy. He says there in verse 12, we live and not die. We're looking up in a minute or two. But it says in verse 15, they take up all of them with the angle or the hook. They catch them with their net and gather them in their drag. That's net as well. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. It says in the final verse, verse 17, shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? He's reminding God here that those who are now being chastened, going to be chastened by the Chaldeans, that those who have, yes, they've lost out with the Lord, they've lost out with him, and he's saying, Lord, these are your covenant people. These are people whom you love. So he's now reminding the Lord. He's referring those who are being attacked by those who come against them, that great Chaldean army. He's referring to them as fish. Just let's look at verse 14. It says, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. He's saying, thy people before thee, Lord, are absolutely now at a loss. There's a sense of great helplessness among them. In other words, they have no protection whatsoever. Let's remember these people that are being chastened. And again, there's a great parallel with our own land. The people who are now being chastened, they were already caught in nets. You see, he's referring to the catching in nets as the Chaldean army coming and sweeping them away. But they were already caught in the net of idolatry. The land was full of it. Men are tripping over themselves to give their hearts to other things and their allegiance to other things and not to the Lord. There was a net of idolatry, but there was a net of immorality. And they were given to that as well. Shamelessness seemed to abound in every hand. And folks, the message is clear. You look around us today and that is what abounds in every hand. But we just want to be careful. I'm speaking here of the evangelical church. Because these things can creep in among God's people. As they have done on so many occasions. And maybe the part of the reason anyway why this virus is prevalent now on sinful nations right across the world. All the sinful nations right across the world is because of turning from God. Idolatry has crept in. It can creep into my heart. Do you remember what the Bible says? Beware of covetousness, which is idolatry. Is this not a covetous age? And isn't it easy as a Christian to be covetous? What about bitterness? What about bitterness against other believers? Very possible to pray well.
and have a heart that is full of resentment for other Christian people, maybe that you know, maybe because of envy or some other reason. All of these things, brethren and sisters, should not be. But we're being realistic. They're there in the Christian church. They're to be found in the Christian church today. And immorality, self-explanatory. And he says now to the Lord, Lord, I want to remind you of just how bad these Chaldean people are. And it's good to remind the Lord of all the needs that Northern Ireland has, of the enemies of Northern Ireland, of the enemies of Christianity. But then the helplessness of the people, they're just like fish. And who can we turn to now, folks? Northern Ireland's in a dark place. We're very worried about the young people growing up. We're worried about people being committed to God's work, not to be flitting about everywhere. And it's the picture right across the whole land. And every gospel minister in some degree feels this helplessness. Preach the word. Call on people to pray. And there's many people who do pray. And you're some of them. But there's such a helplessness. Don't seem to have a voice so much anymore. Some who may have been raising their voices for us have been silent. And folks, we need to remind the Lord today of just how weak we are. Poor and needy. Weak. How the Lord needs to have mercy upon us. We can pray tonight again that he will do that. That in spite of ourselves, he will show us favor again. So when you think of the things that Habakkuk reminded the Lord of, he reminded the Lord of the heathen. He reminded the Lord of his, of God's people's helplessness. But very, very importantly, and remember he did this reverently, he reminded the Lord of his holiness. For he says there in verse 13, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look upon iniquity. He's referring here to the holiness of God. And brethren and sisters, with all the changes that have come, God hasn't changed at all. And our God today still looks upon sin with disapproval. He cannot approve of it. And when he looks upon that which is all around us, let's make no mistake, it grieves him. And it grieved him when he looked around and he saw what the Chaldeans, yes, he was grieved when he saw them. He was grieved when he saw his own people. But he would never set aside his own holiness. And God always acts in accordance with his holiness. And his holiness leads him to want a holy people to worship him. And that brings us again to ourselves for just a moment. As a holy God looks upon us and has saved us to holiness. Remember, he loves us. He loves you. He loves his work. Some people try to damage God's work. And down through the years, trying to do away with Bible printing and with gospel preaching, they've never succeeded, and they never will. You can take encouragement in that. But you know, when we look there in the verses, doesn't it say in verse 12, Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. He said, Lord, I know that you love us. I know that you love us. And brethren and sisters, you and I can say that tonight, even regarding Northern Ireland. When we think of his holiness, he looks for holiness in us because we're saved to holiness. And he looks upon Northern Ireland. You can see a lot of prayerlessness. You can see the Lord's day. But one day in seven, one seventh of our time, God has saved us for all eternity. Remember what we were now before he saved us. He saved us for all eternity. And he asks us for one day. He asks us for a tithe of all of our income. But he asks us for one day. And again, this is just a fact. It's not a criticism of anyone that I know around the country. But God's day is not looked upon as it used to be. The Lord's Sabbath is the Lord's Sabbath all day. It is his day.
set aside for his glory, for the betterment of his people, in resting in him and serving him and worshipping him, so important, and for the betterment of mankind in general. Does the Lord see holiness in Northern Ireland, even in his church, when he looks at that? He's reminding God here about his holiness. You remember in Genesis chapter 12, over there when Abraham, it's one of the times, well, maybe the worst time, one of the worst times when Abraham behaved very badly. And we know he was a friend of God, but in Genesis chapter 12, he went down here with his wife to Egypt. Now, he wasn't told to go there by the Lord. And when you go somewhere that the Lord hasn't told you to go, that's the start of trouble. It may take a while to come, but it can affect your family. And always bear that in mind. God does not, there was a famine in the land, that is true, but God does not, I repeat, he does not guide his people through circumstances and situations alone, but he guides us through his word and by his spirit. He hadn't told Abraham to go to Egypt, and he did go. And when he went there, he was afraid. And he looks at his wife, who at that time was beautiful, and he says in verse 12, you know, if the Egyptians see you as my wife, they will kill me because they will want you. It says there, they will save you alive. And he tells his wife, tell him you're my sister, that it may be well with me. It's almost as though he's behaving like a wimp. Abraham now is withdrawing, you would think, from his faith that he had in the Lord. And Abraham, of course, got his wife to do that. He got her to lie. But the Lord kept his wife safe from any harm or anything untoward that might happen to her. And the Pharaoh called for Abraham in verse 18 and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. Here is a great man, Abraham. What's happening? He's being rebuked by the world for his sin. Rebuked by the world for his sin. Folks, that, I trust, will never happen to us, certainly as a congregation or individuals. But is it happening in Northern Ireland? The world be able to point the finger and say, these are the people of God. Pharaoh could rightly do that at Abraham. Abraham lied. He manipulated his wife. He risked her being harmed. But he was showing such cowardice. But what a rebuking God. There's a lesson there for us all. Let us all remember that God is holiness and holy, and that is something that Habakkuk reminded them of. And as we get down to pray just now, thinking of the overall picture in Habakkuk, goes from despair and great worry to very great rejoicing and delight. Habakkuk was saying, Lord, you're not listening. And the Lord says, well, here's what I'm going to do to chasten my people. And then Habakkuk comes back again and he said, Lord, you're not speaking. You're not speaking. But Lord, I want to remind you about the heathen. I want to remind you about our helplessness. And I want to remind you about your holiness. Good to pray that then tonight. That God would bless his church for his own glory. And that he would revive his church in these days. And turn them savingly to himself. Just bow in a wee word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the word tonight. Would you remember all of the families connected to us, connected to our congregation. Remember all of thy people in Northern Ireland tonight. We pray that blessing may come our way. It might even be a time of great blessing. And Lord, we would pray that you would remember, Lord, the heathen all around us. Lord, we don't like what we see. We know what we see and we don't like it. Lord, also remember our helplessness. Lord, we seem to be able to change nothing. Lord, remember God's holiness. We pray that for thine own honour and glory, that you return us, Lord, and we shall be turned. Bless the folk tonight as they spend some time in prayer and answer for us. Bless in the Lord's day again as we minister over Facebook and sermon audio. May the word come as a help and a challenge. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.